that's what we've been paid for. I know there's a welfare party for the Auditor General. It is unfortunate that we might not be able to go there, depending on the deliberations here. I'm sure it's going to depend on you, because I'm told that it's starting at 12 to half past 12 to half past 12. So, but be that may be the new Auditor General, so we might be there when they welcome the new one. We might not be there when they send off the old one, but when they welcome the new one, we might be there. Because of the date that they chosen, they didn't consult us, they just told us that we have to accept it. Let's welcome Uzube back with the new baby. Where's the baby? Should have brought the baby. Are you really breastfeeding, or you should have taken 3 months to breastfeed? Okay. Well, welcome and congratulations. You have added to the population of South Africa. How many are we now?
Plus one.
Plus one. Oh, okay. Well, you have added one more person to the population. So remember, today we are meeting the coalition. I don't want to mention all of them. We are meeting the coalition. They are talking about Eastern Cape. I think what was supposed to happen, all the members, what was supposed to have happened, because it is them who gave us a report, and when we looked at the report, we thought it was important that we should call the Department of Health to come and explain with them. But when we look at the program, we didn't have enough time to consider everything last week. So we had to leave them out for today. So we called the Department of Health National, and they were accompanied by the head of department from the province. They told us what challenges do they have and what plans do they have. But the thing that sparked the thing was the report for the coalition. So we thought we were going to ask them to be around and give us their report. But because of time constraints, we did not have that time. So we thought it was important that we call them today when we didn't call them then. And they are here today to tell us what about their report, which I'm sure members have actually seen. I'm not sure why there's this commotion, but be that may, let's continue. So we've called them, they are here today to tell us what they found. And we had sent an invitation to the Eastern Cape to say we're calling the coalition, we're going to be telling us about them. So they should be part of us, so that if there's something that is mentioned that is not right, they can respond to it. But they've sent a letter apologizing that they can't be here because of certain things that they're doing in the Eastern Cape. So we'll only be having the question. But fortunately, we've had deliberations with the Department of Health, the National Department of Health. I think as a committee, as committee members, since 1994, we felt it was not good enough to have health services the way they were before 1994, that were totally divided, specifically around race. And we thought that the new dispensation of the new government, the aim is to transform that and make it a better healthcare system for everybody, which I don't have any doubts that that has happened. But obviously, a disaster that has happened for more than 300 years is not going to take 20 years to correct. So there's a lot of things that have happened. There's a lot of, I don't have to mention them, but there's a lot of things that have happened. But there's still a lot of challenges. And the more you do, the more you see the new things coming up. And the more you see new things coming up, the more you've got to work harder. But I think having those challenges that have not been tackled, I think what would give us hope as members is if there is a plan that, irrespective of the challenges that are there, this is the plan that we have that is going to mitigate around the challenges. Now, in certain areas, we don't seem to have that plan that, look, we've got these challenges, and before you have a plan, you must accept that there are challenges or there are problems. But in certain areas, some people don't even want to accept that there are challenges. And if you don't accept that there are challenges, then you can't make a diagnosis, and then you can't have a plan. So this is another reason that made us to call the Department of Health, is that when we notice, partly in the media, which sometimes they are not very accurate, was that there seemed to be some squabbles whether there was no equipment, there was equipment in a particular hospital, somebody saying that the equipment was hidden by the official, somebody saying there was no equipment, we had to buy equipment. Obviously that is confusing us. And if somebody says, no, there was equipment, there's no reason why we should buy equipment, obviously there's some denial there. So this is one of the reasons that we thought, let's call and hear from both sides as to what is actually happening. And as I say, there's a lot that has been done, but there's still a lot of challenges. But what we're interested in is the plan, and that's why some people are very happy with the National Development Plan that says in so many years we think that we'll be in this area. And that says we accept that things are not good, but we are working towards that. By such and such a time, there must be this, by such and such a time, and this is what we're looking for. So we saw this report from the coalition, and we called the coalition, and they are here, members. They're going to be telling us about their report, and it's unfortunate that the department has apologized, but the National Department of Health gave us promises. And one question that was very difficult to contemplate, but we're not asking the department, but what we're saying is that if the department, National Department of Health, had to rush down to SNK, whether they went there before the coalition report or after or during, it doesn't matter. But they went in there and they came up with strategies. But the problem is that their offices are in Pretoria and Cape Town. So they're going to go there and do whatever they do and then move back to their offices. And what is going to remain in the Eastern Cape? Are they going to leave everything to the same people that were there? Or there are other changes that are going to happen to make sure that things are... Because what they told us was that they are doing this, they are doing that, and in fact they are doing it even before the report of the coalition. But the question is, when they go back, after whatever time, what is going to happen? What is going to remain in the Eastern Cape? But those are the things. Let's give over to them before. But before we give over to them, you are all new to this committee. You have never been to this committee, let alone seeing such a very dark chairperson. The members are busy trying to get me some skin lightness so that I could be lighter than what I am, so that you could see me. I'm sure even this room is very dark. So let's introduce ourselves before we go to them. I see a hand even before we introduce ourselves. Okay, Honourable Ben.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it is unfair and it's unfortunate that we're having the people in front of us, they are complaining about the department, and the department, they have an excuse of not being here. Because when you read everything here, it's about the very same people who have to come and account. So what is the point of us coming to listen to them? And then those people could have been sitting here to clarify some other things. So the proper thing, we shouldn't have had this meeting. because they the very same thing that they complain about, we talked about them last week, but now what was relevant, it was for the very same people from Eastern Cape to be sitting here and account of what those people are saying. That's my feeling, Chen.
Okay, thanks. I think maybe let's accept the situation that they gave us a report, they sent it to us, and they were expecting us to say something about the report. Now, the way that we did it, it was just a question of time. I don't want to say let's blame Eastern Cape, but what we thought was important was to call the Department of Health, the Eastern Cape, and them, and which we did, but the constraint was time. So we said, okay, let's make it in 2 weeks. Let's call the department. They explain to us, and we tell them that we've got a report. But because they were the originators of this, let even them come and tell us so that we can hear. Especially that there are questions whether there are certain things that the department is disputing. And at this time, we thought that maybe the Department of Health in the Eastern Cape is going to be there. But we have accepted their apology when they said they can't be here. But we will find time and call them. Because it was the National Department mainly, but the head of department was there. But it was mainly the National Department. So we were supposed to bring them, both of them, but the time constraint was against us. So I would urge members, I would request that we actually leave them, just give us a summary of what they gave us, and then we just move on. We already know what's happening. I'm begging members that we allow them to tell us, because they are the ones who sent us a report, and they were expecting us to say something about that report of theirs. Okay. Can we introduce ourselves? Let's start with you,
good morning. I am Beatrice Ngobo, a member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Morosi Sakhalediswe.
Ke a leboga modula setilo. Lebitso la ka ke Rebecca Makosha Motsepe.
Good morning, Gamalang Dimtandiwe Kenye, member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Patricia Kopani. I'm a member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Lebohe Grace Dube, member of the committee.
Can you put it in front of you, ma'am?
Oh. Morning, everybody. My name is Lebohe Grace Dube, member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Why do you introduce me? No, my name is Papi Khanara. I'm a member of the committee also.
Dade Khanara is well known because it's the only male member. Don't ask me what I am. He's the only male member in the committee. So he's well known, so he doesn't have to introduce himself. We've got people that are assisting us. We've got the secretary next to me. We've got two yogas here that are helping us. We've got Ulindo who's sitting there next to Tate Khanara. We've got Uzube who's still breastfeeding. So those are the people that are assisting us as a committee. I'm sure I will ask you a question, you have forgotten all the names, but I'll keep on reminding you who said this and that. So let's give over to you. If you could just give us a summary, we've read the report. That's why we called the department and we wanted to call you with the department. Unfortunately, we didn't have time. But let's give over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and the Portfolio Committee members. Receive my greetings. Members of the media, and members of the public, as well as the members of the coalition. My name is Anele Yawa. I'm coming from Utine, Ketinah. I'm the national chairperson of Treatment Action Campaign. Next to me is Sasha Stevenson. She is a member of Section 27. Next to her is Dr. Nombasa Mayeko. She is from Rodasa. Next to Dr. Nombasa is Comrade Dayton Eager from Rural Health Advocacy Project. Next to him is Comrade Noloiso Ndamehlo, the Treatment Action Campaign Eastern Cape Provincial Coordinator. On behalf of the Eastern Cape Health Crisis Action Coalition, let us take this opportunity and thank you for allowing us to sit with you and share with you our experiences from what is happening in the Eastern Cape. Our presentation is not going to be too long and boring, because we want to allow you enough time to ask as many questions as you can so that we can be able to respond where it is necessary. However, let me take 1 second and inform you about who is this coalition and why there was a coalition. The Eastern Cape Health Coalition is composed of more than 22 organizations. These organizations are civil society organizations, community organizations, professional healthcare workers organizations, individual professionals, as well as Eastern Cape public health users. The coalition came into existence after December 2012, after there was a drug stock out at Amthatha Depot, where TAC, Section 27, MSF, Rural Health Advocacy had intervened. Fortunately, we had a positive Superintendent General, Dr. Pillay, who came into board with TAC, and we managed as TAC and other partners to handle the situation. As a result of that, TAC deployed more than 22 volunteers to assist at Amthatha Depot from December until the end of February. Then after the issue of the Amthatha Depot, there was a crisis of the village clinic, where TAC and other organizations that I have mentioned tried to call in for the MEC of Health in the Eastern Cape to intervene in the crisis, where people of the village clinic were receiving health services in a tent for more than 6 months. And we have written several letters to the office of the MEC, but the office of the MEC never responded to us. As people of South Africa, we said the only thing that can address this matter, it is the supreme law of the country, and we took the Eastern Cape government to court. And in that process, I must mention in this house that we applaud the interventions that were made by the National Minister of Health. However, the National Minister of Health intervened, and he requested us that let us not resolve the matter in court. We rather resolve the matter outside the court. And then he promised us that since a village clinic is in OR Tambo, and OR Tambo is one of the NHI pilot sites, so he took some money from the budget of the NHI so that there can be a newly erected hospital for the people of the village clinic in Lusikisi. And then we went with the MEC office of the Eastern Cape out of court, and then we had an agreement. And then after that, as TAC and our government, we are proud that today in South Africa, more than 2.9 million people are on antiretrovirals. And it is our duty as TAC to make sure that all those people who are on ARVs, they get better health services so that they don't default, because our main mission is to save lives. But to our surprise, when these things happened, we went to TAC and other organizations. We are operating throughout our province. And one of our duties was to say, let us monitor health services from where we come from our districts and to the province. And between April and June, we had several public hearing meetings. One was held at OR Tambo, and then the other one was held at Buffalo City Municipality. In these public hearing meetings, we invited the public, irrespective of where you come from, whether you are a doctor, you are a nurse, you are a health user, and all that stuff. And we received a number of problems, ranging from the health users and health providers. And we need to understand that even if we can say next year we are celebrating 20 years of freedom, but the legacy of colonialism and apartheid affected the Eastern Cape in a very bad way. We need to understand that out of all 9 provinces, Eastern Cape is the only province that was governed by different administrations during the time of apartheid. There was the Sky, there was Transkei, and there was the Republic. And the problem that we have witnessed is that most of the healthcare facilities that are in deep rural areas are in a shame. And people who are accessing health services in those areas are getting a lot of challenges. So what we did then was is that we consulted some other organizations and we sat down. And these organizations, all of them, they came to us, and then we formed this coalition. And then we said, with this coalition, we are willing to work with our government so that we can be able to address some of the challenges that we are faced with in the Eastern Cape. We understand that after we released a report, the national minister made some interventions. And the interventions that were made by the national minister were only focusing in OR Tambo. Yet our problem is not only in OR Tambo, but it is in the whole province. If you can go to Port Elizabeth, babies are dying. Healthcare workers are working under frustrating conditions. You can go to Frey. Monday in Frey, there was a demonstration of community healthcare workers where they were complaining about their working conditions. So if you go, you can go to Matwaleni Hospital, walls are falling apart. You can go to Tafalofefe Hospital, walls are falling apart, and the conditions of the hospital are not good at all. And then, to be short and brief, in September, we had a march on the 13th of September, where we submitted our petition to the Department of Health. Unfortunately, our petition was never received by the MEC. It was received by Dr. Ben Asher, and they promised that they will come back to us. And in our petition, we requested them to respond to us before the 11th of October, and that never happened. And then after that, we sat down as a coalition to strategize how to move forward. And then on the 17th, I think, they responded to us with a plan. And what they say is a plan that we had requested as to how are they going to fix the Eastern Cape Health. But to our surprise, the plan on its own, if I can show you, this is the response from the Department of Health, and they are saying this is the plan to fix the Eastern Cape Health Act. And the coalition responded to this plan with this document. And if you can see, this document of the coalition is thicker than the plan of the department. And if you see the plan of the department, it seems as if because the plan does not have time frames, specifics, it's just a shopping list. And then, in all these instances, we have been asking the office of the minister as to say that, let us sit down together and see how best can we address the problems that are facing the Eastern Cape. But all those requests fell into deaf ears, because up until to this day, since from 2012 December until today, we never had a meeting with the MEC of Health in the Eastern Cape. Yes. So the problem that we are faced with, the reason that we are here today, we seek the intervention of this portfolio committee, because in the province we are having challenges, as I have said, and then we think that the Eastern Cape Demon Affairs must come with a plan that is clear, and in that process we think that they must bring into board all stakeholders, meaning that your premier, your treasury department, as well as the department, to sit down. And then the other thing that we need to put into the attention of this committee is that after we had this march, what we have witnessed is that some of the healthcare workers who were speaking out about the conditions, the bad conditions they work under, are being intimidated by the department. As TAC and other organizations who are working on the ground, we used to go to health facilities and do some monitoring. But as I'm talking to you now, in all facilities, all gates are closed for TAC. When our TAC volunteers go to health facilities to monitor, to support, to educate, they are being told that you must bring a letter from the department that gives you a permission to access entry in this particular facility. Those are the challenges that you are faced with. I think I will stop there and allow Dr. Mbengashe to take you furthermore. I thank you.
Dr. Mbengashe.
My apologies, Dr. Mayer.
Thank you, comrade. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Thank you for the opportunity that I can talk on behalf of the RUDASA and also other healthcare workers. I'm Nombasa Mayeko. I've been working as a clinical manager at one of the provincial hospitals, but now I have resigned. So I am an unemployed doctor right now. And honorable members,
maybe you need to tell us what RUDASA is.
RUDASA, yes. RUDASA itself is Rural Doctors Association of South Africa. It has been an interest group from summer, but now RUDASA is feeling that they want to stand on their own, because there's more challenges in the rural community. So doctors want to unite together and bring issues, especially those who want to stay in those deep rural areas, and bring them up. There were some members who actually voiced to SAMA saying that SAMA looks, there's branches like Border Coastal and then the PE group and also the Eastern group SAMA. So members from RUDASA then brought it up that they would love to have more attention, especially those people who are as far as Kraaifontein, far as Middelburg Cape. So they wanted more attention than it would be centralized, because all those divisions of SAMA, they are more in the cities than it is in the rural setups. So that's what the RUDASA stands for. But
so I can join.
Yes, you are welcome. We actually have people who are supporting us even from other provinces, even in Western Cape, who are actually from Eastern Cape itself, who are working in other provinces. They are supporting RUDASA even in Eastern Cape. They are members. Thank you. What I would like to talk about is the crisis and the HR issues. I'll just read through the presentation mainly. The key Department of Health policies such as NHI and PHC require sufficient, competent, equipped, caring and valued HRH on the ground. Vacancy posts, frozen posts, resignations are well known. If I can put more meat on the resignations, resignations are very frequent in the Eastern Cape, and the exit interviews are not really considered, even if one has done exit interviews in the institutions. It looks like if the hospital manager in that institution was not pleased or happy with the person who's resigning, then there's nothing that will actually come up and be corrected, despite the person leaving there. More needed than correct and punctual payment, which is HR issues also. Key HR issues are affecting healthcare delivery in the Eastern Cape. HRH management, there's lack of infrastructure and management capacity at all levels of the healthcare system. Poor implementation of HRH policies, acting positions lead to inability to make decisions. In the rural areas also, the network capacity is needed to help logis and PESA, as well as general communication capacity. There's a problem where you find out that you go to the HR department and you find out that everything is offline for a long time, maybe for 2 weeks, and people have not been paid. If ever there's a doctor who has just joined the department and actually has just joined the department and needs to get his salary at the end of the month, that doctor will actually have basic salary at the beginning, and maybe over time will be included later. Rural allowance will be included later. Because of the system itself, you'll be told that it's not working well. It's not like comprehensive, especially in the rural areas. It's better when you go and work in the cities, and people want to go to the rural areas. The recruitment, despite some improvements in HR processes, the following issues still prevail. There's poor reputation of Eastern Cape Department of Health in terms of payment, which is what I've just highlighted on. And there's poor management. This poor management repels doctors to come and work in those areas. They leave all the time because they can't get their salaries. And people actually have commitments financially, and they cannot afford to do that. So people have been actually getting out of the department, go and do locums elsewhere, get more money, and then now the Eastern Cape Department will complain that doctors are actually not in the hospitals because their monies are not in them. And there's lack of essential equipment such as computers, which leads to delays in the processing appointment letters. The bottlenecks in the administrative processes of recruitment, such as the requirement of multiple signatures for approval of a placement into a funded vacant post, that is very delaying, because at some point we calculated with some members of RUDASA, where we found out that there were about 11 signatures before there's any approval of anything, be it a post or even approval for buying an equipment, a simple BP cuff. There's lack of funding for vacant posts. And also there's also delays in appointments in replacing those posts that are actually vacated by people. Oh, this is what I've just said already. Retention, key issues affecting retention in the Eastern Cape. Retention survey, which has been conducted also by RUDASA, Section 27, and also other members of the coalition. There's a problem with the work culture actually in the Eastern Cape. It goes like this. There's disrespect, there's favoritism, there's nepotism. Negative attitudes, they prevail. There's gossiping, there's lack of professionalism, there's lack of support of the employees. There's no consultation on decisions by the management. Management does not listen. There's unfair handling by management of certain issues. There's lack of clear goals and vision. When I say there's no consultation on decisions by the management, there's what is called ITUs within institutions, but you will find out that the ITUs are non-functional, and also some hospitals that were supposed to have hospital boards. Hospital boards have not been elected, so even the members of the community are not actually involved into what is done within the hospital. They just know that the hospital is just giving service, which people are still complaining about. Learning and development opportunities from the side of healthcare workers, it's quite difficult. For example, yes, the nursing staff, they have a way of improving themselves, but it is very difficult for doctors. For example, if a doctor wants to study and is actually in that particular institution, if the post in the central hospital is not available, that doctor cannot improve at all. And even attending conferences, it's quite difficult. Doctors are paying for themselves to improve and bring service back to the very same hospital. And some doctors actually have complained that even during those conferences, if ever it's summer or it's RUDASA that has organized it, that also is going to be deducted from your annual leave days. You don't have time which you are going to actually request for skills development. It's something that you are going to get from your own days. Some managers are doing that. There's OSD blocking possibilities for promotion and no focus on personal development, no opportunities to study further. Grade progressions are very slow. I've just heard now that I'm out of the system, that there is grade progressions that are taking place, but it's not uniform. It's certain institutions, it's not all institutions that have done that. And other people are informed about it and others are not. Leadership itself, leadership needs to create the environment for engaged employees to thrive in. Problems identified as lack of order and discipline in running the department by the managers. There's lack of leadership and managerial skills by some. Management inconsistencies and managers being dishonest and disrespectful to other employees. If I can quote one of the managers from one hospital which was reported by the other doctors, where a manager in a meeting which was supposed to be a management meeting, the manager just said in Xhosa, "Ndiyekeni ndisilawule esibhedlela ngobukrwada bam." There are such comments which mean in English, leave me so that I can rule this hospital with my rudism, if there's such a word, with being rude, which is things that managers say amongst other people who are professionals. There's a divide and rule leadership. There's poor, bad management, failure by management to address employees' issues. Lack of leadership. When I say employee issues, if ever there's any, the employee wellness program is not working very well with the Eastern Cape. There are people actually who get into alcoholism within the institutions. And it is very common for employees to get unpaid leave if they haven't been working, instead of supporting the person and ensuring that the person has actually gone through all the stages of being supported by the employee wellness program. I do not know what that employee wellness program is for in the Eastern Cape. The management's inability to make decisions about daily running of health facilities and attitude of management, there is lack of that in the Eastern Cape, especially in many institutions, many of them. I'm talking about many rural institutions. Non-financial recognition, there's lack of recognition and acknowledgement from the leaders, from the managers and colleagues to individuals, leading to demotivation of staff members. Staff members, they would just report to people that they are just there so that their money at the end of the month is available at the bank. Otherwise, they don't know what they are for in the institutions. They would actually tell you when you, in this, as I said, that this was a retention survey, this was a survey done by the coalition, and they would tell you, as a coalition member, that even if they have some opinions in meetings, some opinions would depend who has spoken at that particular time. And some people wouldn't, even the same opinion that they voiced out, if somebody else raises it maybe later on, that opinion will be taken as if it's a new thing because it is spoken now by someone else, which shows more favoritism to people that are working in the Eastern Cape. This demotivates the staff a lot. Communication, there is concern about among health workers regarding both formal and informal communication. Barriers to effective communication, the channels and protocol for communication are not observed. Improper communication procedures, poor interaction with management, and the lack of communication between staff and managers. The National HRL Age Plan and Chapter 8, access in rural and remote areas, unquote. What is the Eastern Cape plan for equitable distribution, recruitment and retention of HRH? Thank you.
Thank you very much for welcoming us here today. We certainly welcome the opportunity. My name is Sasha Stevenson. I'm going to be presenting the last portion of the Coalition's presentation before we take questions. And I'm here really to look a bit more at the plan that has been provided to us, the two plans essentially, one from the Eastern Cape Department of Health and one from the National Department, and to go through some of the constitutional requirements for a plan, because I think it's important that we don't just talk about a plan, we talk about a good plan and a plan that's going to achieve its aims. As you all know, the Coalition asked when we presented our memorandum to the Eastern Cape Department of Health and also to the National Department for a plan, for a turnaround strategy. And as the Honourable Chair noted, it gives hope if there's a plan. And that's what we were really hoping for. And we're certainly very grateful for the response that we have received from the Eastern Cape Department of Health, from the National Department of Health, and indeed from this committee. We're glad that these organs are engaging with us and are trying to come up with solutions. But what that plan needs to look like is really important. Just a plan by itself isn't sufficient. And as the Honourable Chair said, it's important that everybody accepts that there are challenges and accepts that change needs to be made, but just accepting those challenges isn't enough. And it's important that a plan is formulated that actually ensures that we can achieve the aims that we need to achieve and that it meets the constitutional requirements that there are for a plan. And so my role here is really to look briefly at those constitutional requirements and then to look at the plans with which we've been presented and try and give a very brief assessment of those plans. You'll have received in the pack both the Eastern Cape plan and our response to the plan, and I encourage you to look through those if you're able to. But this is really just a user's guide to those documents. So the Constitution requires that a plan to fix the healthcare system in the province must be reasonable. And the Honourable Member noted the problems with this committee hearing us and not yet hearing the Eastern Cape Department of Health. And I encourage you, when you do hear from the department, which I'm sure you will, to assess their plan and any future plans and to bear in mind the criteria that have been laid out through the courts as to what constitutes a reasonable plan. So the reasonableness of a plan can be assessed by the criteria that you see on the board. There's 10, essentially, that courts have laid out in various cases. And I think this is a really useful tool for assessing any kind of attempt to change a system. Firstly, the plan must be reasonably conceived and implemented. Importantly, the drafting of a plan obviously isn't enough, but so often we end there and we don't follow up. It must be capable of facilitating the realization of the right, remembering, of course, that this is a right. It must be comprehensive and coherent. It's no good dealing with one small aspect of the problem and expecting the problem to go away. It must be coordinated in terms of Chapter 3 of the Constitution, and therefore it must be determined by all spheres of government, and I'll speak a bit more about this later, but I think this is one of the key challenges that we're having, is that, as you mentioned, Honourable Member, we're operating in silos. We have the National Department doing one thing and the Eastern Cape Department doing another, and we really need for long-term sustainable change for there to be more coordination to ensure that answers are realised. There must be appropriate financial and human resources made available for the programme. Remembering that a plan without a budget isn't really a plan at all, and a plan without warm bodies appointed to it is unlikely to achieve its aims. Sixth criteria is that the plan must be balanced and flexible, and it must make provision for short, medium, and long-term needs. We need a plan that will address both urgent needs and look to the long-term systemic problems that the Honourable Chair has already noted are certainly a legacy of the past and are continuing detriment to the people of the Eastern Cape. The plan needs to be transparent and its contents need to be made known effectively to the public so that it can be analysed. A plan must make rights more accessible to a larger number of people. This is what progressive realisation of constitutional rights is all about. We need to start ensuring that rights are accessible to more and more people and that they are more and more accessible. So a plan needs to be progressive in its aims. It needs to make short-term provision for those whose needs are urgent and who are living in intolerable conditions. We all know that there are certain rights that are immediately realisable. For example, the right to emergency medical services. At present, the Eastern Cape, on a report from the Human Rights Commission, has less than a third of the ambulance it needs, ambulances that it needs, and it doesn't intend to get. It intends to get half of the ambulances it needs before the end of the year. Now, when this is an immediately realisable right, there's no way that right can be realised, and it's important that a plan looks to things like urgency and to immediately realisable rights. And finally, a plan must be conceived of with an appropriate understanding of constitutional and statutory obligations. It's important that when formulating a plan, we don't turn away from the National Health Act and from other obligations and rights, and that these obligations and rights are built into the plan. So these are just some of the ways in which a plan can be assessed, and now, very, very briefly, I look to the plan that has been provided by the Eastern Cape Department of Health. And Mr. Yao has already alluded to some of the problems with the plan, some of the shortcomings perhaps, and we look forward to working with the Eastern Cape Department of Health and indeed the National Department to try and improve this plan. But I identify some of the key problems with the plan here. Probably the most important one is the lack of time frames, indicators, and opportunities for monitoring and evaluation. The plan really is essentially a restatement of some of the legal and constitutional obligations that are already on the department. It doesn't really give much more. It almost doesn't foresee implementation. There's no time frames involved. It suggests that it is intending to remedy urgent challenges, but it doesn't look at long-term problems, and it doesn't give timelines for remedying those urgent challenges, so it's entirely impossible that it could realise any aims, because it's not clear what its aims are. It doesn't give any indicators, so it doesn't say we will have achieved our aims when we reach this point. There's no opportunity for monitoring and evaluation either from the department side, from this committee's side, from the national department side, or from civil society's side. And it's important if we're going to try and achieve aims that we're able to monitor and evaluate what we're doing. There's need for clarity on the status of the document. It's not clear whether the document has been costed and budgeted. It seems like it hasn't. It's certainly not clear how much consultation has gone into it, even whether the National Department and the Provincial Department have spoken to each other. There's certainly been no civil society consultation. There seems to have been little coordination, and there's little delineation of roles and responsibilities within the plan. As I said, it's a statement of objectives and a statement of obligations, but little else. So nothing is pinned on anybody. And very worryingly, there's no prioritising of service delivery. In fact, there seems to be a focus on political implications. So the first concern is the improved reputation of the Eastern Cape government, which obviously is important. But I think what's more important is ensuring the delivery of healthcare services to the people of the Eastern Cape, and that doesn't appear to be a priority. And then even more briefly, I'll look to the national intervention, because as you know, there have been two parallel interventions. And the national intervention is certainly much more positive. It contains timelines. It contains a budget. It seems to have been costed. And it's partly evidence-based in that, as the Honourable Chair mentioned, there was an investigation in the Eastern Cape, and certain immediate steps were taken. Unfortunately, the deficiencies that were found in one hospital were assumed to be the case in other hospitals, and so there was a plan to deliver the equipment that wasn't in one hospital to 18 other hospitals, which is, it seems like a strange way to assess need. So there are certainly problems, but overall it's positive. Unfortunately, also, it's entirely focused on the OR Tambo district, and this is for obvious reasons, because this is where the National Health Insurance is being piloted. But the trouble with this is that the Eastern Cape Department of Health seems to not be thinking at all about the OR Tambo district, given the intervention of National. And so there seems to be a disjuncture here and a lack of coherence across the province as a whole. And I think most importantly and finally, as I mentioned earlier, there's a need for much more cooperation. And as a committee, you've obviously noticed it in the difficulties in getting everybody into one room together, but it's a huge impediment to the achievement of our aims and of the aims of the Constitution if the national and provincial departments aren't working together as they're obliged to do under Chapter 3 of the Constitution to ensure the realization of rights in the Eastern Cape. So, Honourable Members, before I hand the floor back over, I wonder if I couldn't hand out through you, Chair, an unredacted version of the report that we issued. You will have all seen the redacted version. We haven't made the unredacted version available publicly, but we think it's important for members of this committee to see the unredacted version. And so I wonder if I may hand them out. Thank you, Chair.
So are you finished?
We're done. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Members, before I make a few comments and we open up for discussion, let me welcome Honorable Robinson. She's another member. She happens to hail from Eastern Cape. She's from Eastern Cape. In fact, both of them, those who came a little bit late because they were doing some other things. There's another one, Elizabeth Kenya, the one who's reading very attentively there. Honorable Kenya, she came a little bit late. So those are the members that came a little bit late. Members, you know, I don't think as healthcare workers we're saying that people should not die. I think it's something that even the start of the world, it was said people are going to die. But I think the real reason is that we don't want people to die unnecessarily. If they die, there must be a good reason that was beyond our control, that was beyond our technical know-how at this time that are dying. And we always think that you should die because you're very old. You should not die young. And if you die young, there must be a reason why you die young. So we're not saying people must not die. But the second point is that, you know, if there's always a quote in the radio on Sundays, somebody is always saying, if you don't make sure that communities maintain the democracy, keep the democracy alive, the communities themselves, it will actually go down. So if people are not fighting for their health services, they will actually go down. So it should not be one person, it should be all the communities. But unfortunately, in certain areas, our communities are illiterate. They depend on somebody to help them. So I take it that our work as members of parliament is to do oversight, and we're elected to do that oversight. But part of the work that we're doing, we're getting information from the communities. And these are the coalition, our community members, some of the information we get it from the media, and so on and so on. Some of it we get it ourselves when we go to these places. So now we're being given information as to what's happening in the Eastern Cape as we do oversight. Thank you very much that we are. Thanks, Nombasa. I think, Nombasa, you might not be aware, because it was a Cape Town, it was Cape Argus that reported. Nombasa, maybe you didn't see that article. There was an article, I think it's about 2 weeks ago. They were talking about doctors from HPCSA, that many doctors are becoming drug addicts. And they were analyzing why they are becoming drug addicts, that they are being overworked, they are being stressed. It's not about the salaries and the finances, but it's about the stress at work. And they are becoming, the numbers are increasing, and they've got easy accessibility to things like Valium, like Pepidine. So, and the number one doctors that, I'm not sure whether I'm quoting them well, but I think they were starting with anesthetists, that most of them who becoming drug addicts are anesthetists. Now you actually imagine that if conditions are not good enough, then you become a drug addict because you feel helpless, you can't do anything, let alone being stressed by the patient's condition, but by the fact that you know how to do it, but you can't do it because you don't have enough equipment to do that. So that there was that code. So members, thank you very much, Sasha, for that. As we said, Eastern Cape has apologized. So we're just listening to you and we're going to be interrogating you with questions. But we seem to have an information from National, and Dr. Mbengashe was here last week. So he answered some of the questions that you wanted, but we didn't have, we had the information because we had read your document that you sent to us, which was not the version that they are giving us now, but we are going to be engaging you and finding out what's happening. So members, that is the report. You can ask questions. We will have tea at, it's 10:30 now, we'll have tea at about 11, but we can start now. And if the questions go long enough to 11, we'll have tea and then they can come back and answer. Okay. I see Mr. Khaled, so I see that they have another. Okay, let's start with you, Mr. Khaled.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Even if where I'm sitting, with my own language, I don't know how to put it. I mix up. Yeah. Because on the 30th, the department was here together with the new HOD. And in front of me, I got their presentation and their action plan with the time frame. I asked myself question that because the first figure talked about the relationship they were working together with Dr. Pile. And another thing is the coalition has just started. I don't know if I got it correct somewhere in December when you, yeah. Now, where I'm sitting, I think now I've got the cart in front of the horse because I was having the minister because if there's one province which we as the portfolio committee have visited thoroughly more than we are supposed to, even we haven't even gone to other provinces, but it is Eastern Cape. Whatever you are talking about, we know about it, and that is why we had the meeting. Now, I was asking myself, because we do have a new HOD. You did mention his name, but I don't know how are you working with him to give him a chance of whatever, because whatever you have said, it is in the department investigation report, it is in our report, all those things. What we are anticipating, it was that now we should be told how are we going. You said something like the doctor talked about, there is no health forum. And because my other question was going to say, how do you participate in the health forum? But unfortunately, you said there is no health forum. And you made mention that you did communicate with the minister. I didn't hear it very clear. When was it? Is the minister given time, sufficient time, to really work on whatever? Because what we know when we are sitting here is that the department is really focusing its attention in Eastern Cape. Now, when I say I'm really mixed up, is now we got the plan of the department, now we are having this report, and I was asking, what am I going to do as a public representative? Because they were here on the 30 telling me what they are going to do. Now, that is why I say the cat is in front of the horse. Something happened. Now, if you could have came before that meeting, or have came like Honorable Kopano was saying, together with the department, maybe I would be not asking the question, because I want to know what am I going to do when I get from here, because I'm expecting for the progress report from the department as they have came here. And unfortunately, the plan you are talking, you were showing us, we don't have it. The one
in your bundle.
On
it's the K plan. It's in the box.
Yeah, so that I can see and compare to whatever we are going to. And another thing on the doctor's presentation, do you know, when we are here, I think we need incidences, and we need to be saying that name and shame. Because so at the end of the day, when you talk about the leadership, which is the way you explain it, you even said that somebody did whatever. One would want to know, who was that somebody and where and when? So that when we get here, to be saying that irrespective that you were here on the 30, and this is what you have told us, that these people who have came and they have told, can you include in your progress report these incidences? So that at the end of the day, we should be. Now, when I go to the minister to be saying, these people were here and this is what they have said, I will be asked, when was this? Where was it? Who did them? Because really we have to name and shame. Generalization cannot help us for now. But what I can tell to the coalition that your initiative is something which is very important. As long as it comes together and working together with the relevant people. You are giving us the impression that from the look of things, the Department of Health in Eastern Cape doesn't give you a hearing. Is that what you are telling us? But now, when I'm sitting here,
I have the new HOD. Will I be fair to be saying that there are these people whom we are not listening? He has just come in. And maybe I should even ask, what is your plan to working with them? Because at the end of the day, when you are a stakeholder, you should be considered, you should even be represented in the forum or in the stakeholder forum. But what I'm saying, do you know, I really see this cat in front of this horse, and I don't know how will I handle it, but I know that as the committee will come together and really do something. But at the end of the day, I was saying, your answers, we are here, the chairperson and my whip is here, and we should be just saying to the people, this is the report which we got. Can you tell us what is happening? Even if they have told us now to marry the two, so that we should be really knowing what is happening. Thank you, Chairperson, for now.
Thank you, Ms. Khale.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I have got to say to the coalition, I think it was a very progressive move for not proceeding with the court action so that issues could be resolved and the minister could intervene the way he has intervened. But before I get into the presentation, Chair, I think we have got to put this on record. During apartheid, there were clinics and hospitals, and the fact remains that there was good infrastructure, there was no stock out, and those hospitals and clinics were clean. And we can't say that we inherited that from apartheid, because we did not inherit that from apartheid. Superintendents of hospitals used to manage hospitals. And to be honest, we have got to be quite frank to say something went wrong, and it is not the response, it's not the apartheid. Mm. It is us who changed the culture of clean hospitals, no drug stock outs, where you found, even if there were not enough doctors, but people used to get service when they went to hospitals. There's something wrong. We have got to correct that. We have got to be honest and say that needs to be corrected. And there's something wrong we did. How do you correct it? Because unless we acknowledge that, we will not correct anything. The other point, following on Honorable Sekhali Biswai, comments of our discussions this morning, you know, it's a problem. Dr. Mengash was here, who made a with the minister. And I really believe that they must be given an opportunity to address these particular problems. That we should not, because I've got confidence that there's a difference between the minister and the MEC. As far as I'm concerned, I believe the MEC should have long been fired. There's something wrong with the premier who does not fire that MEC. Probably the premier must also be fired. Because there's no leadership. We have got to acknowledge the Eastern Cape Health Department does not have leadership. But it does not have leadership because probably the Premier is not doing her work of ensuring that the MEC does her work. But I think that I've got full confidence in what the Minister said and his commitment. And your statement that there's no evidence that the equipment he promised is there. I think what we have got to do is that we can ask the chair to contact the DG and find out about what is happening with this, because I think they were genuinely saying that they are going to procure the equipment and they are going to deliver the equipment. It's a matter of just contacting the minister and the DG and saying what happened. I mean, we have got this particular report, what is happening? And then we have got to be able to do that. And thanks for the reports, all the reports. I think it helps us to deal with the issues of Eastern Cape. And the other point, Chair, that doctor who was fired and the minister intervened, it's very clear that in the Eastern Cape, whistleblowers are under attack. And therefore, we cannot talk about one doctor. We have got to talk about the principle. of protecting whistleblowers. And that's something we have got to highlight with the in that letter to the DG. And it will help if those people who are being victimized can come forth so that we can know who they are and we can protect them. I think the same way as you did with the NHLS, you must do the same with these workers in the Eastern Cape who are whistleblowers who are under attack, Chair. And I hope that we will get a report from you.
Me on the spot now. Okay, the other hand was Honorable Noba and then Mackay. Sorry. I'll come back to you.
No, thank you very much for the report. But notwithstanding what you have told us, and not trying to protect the department, but the, I don't know whether to say the unfortunate thing, but that we've got NHI pilot districts. It is important to use them to mirror the whole province. They must be put right. For instance, if one can report to you that we've completed a bill that is now an act, which actually instructs how things must be done, particularly around ensuring that things are done right in the hospitals. But once I'm there, it is, though you are, I'm not sure whether I'm complaining or you're remarking that the Department of Health is channeling its energy in OR Tambo. Obviously, it's for that reason that OR Tambo, they're setting the tone in OR Tambo. But I think it's also good that you become a monitoring tool to keep reminding the department that we are aware that this is happening, but we would like you to move forward. Around the issue of equipment, we were informed that equipment like stethoscopes and all those things that are used daily and some furniture, wheelchairs, about 2,000 wheelchairs, were sent to that province. So it was mostly around OR Tambo. But I am sure the department, the National Health Department, with the good minister and the good DG, who seem to be committed, there might be improvement. But once the Department of Health nationally is trying to improve the province also needs to try to improve itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mavi. Okay, Honorable Kenya and then Honorable Robinson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you for the presentation. I think, to my understanding, yes, we've got questions to say. Mostly just want to interrogate the report. I'm worried, to my understanding, with the timing of getting this report should have been before we met the department. Because to my understanding, there are critical issues which were supposed to be taken along with the department. It's just that that was that you came after the department has been here. Also, I concur with what Annelies has said. Yes, we know what Tambo is our pilot project in the Eastern Cape, but at the same time, we want the dissemination of the information about the NHI and the re-engineering of PLC. Really, it's as much as we need a focus at OR Tambo, but also there are deep rural areas even on the other side which don't even have even the clinics for that matter. I think that is why you are talking about the tent, because really it's a shame, but as Kana has just said, yes, we are glad that you didn't really go, well, Mr. Indavin, you didn't really go to the court so as to sort our problems outside the court. We commend that. But Dr. Nombasa, just to ask a small question. Why did you resign at a very crucial time that we need doctors? We always say you are running short of doctors, and you see the problem you're having. Now you said I resigned. It's frustrating us, because you also said in your recommendations, you also said on the CRISP page, HRH and page 7, you talked about the importance of NHI and PSC, which requires a sufficient, competent, equipped, caring, and valued HRH on the ground. But the same doctors are resigning. Now it's contradictory. So as much as maybe, even if you say there are problems, and you said that you also said that there are frozen posts. How do we begin to say that we can improve if those doctors who are committed can just leave the situation? I think rather than leaving the situation, because it's difficult to fight the situation if you are outside. But when you are inside, you get a space to fight the situation. So please, I plead with you, doctors, even if you are stressed. Even if you've got those problems, but please just do not leave, because the onus rests on you as doctors, especially that you have got also Royal Doctors here in Dasa, which we know that we also depend on them for the uplifting of the rural areas. So really, I think that is why I'm frustrated that you say that I resigned, I'm unemployed, but you are carrying a very critical issues about this department, but at the same time you are leaving our patients behind, knowing that there's a crisis. So that is why I think maybe you can just, even, I don't say if it's personal, yes, you can't explain to us, but just to check if you resigned because of the pressure of what is happening, or really if it's personal. I don't think there's a need for you to divulge the information, but I'm just concerned because you are concerned, but now you resign to be out of the situation, whereas you see that the situation needs help, needs more hands, more doctors. So, but I'm not forcing you to tell us, but because now I'm frustrated that you are making the shortage more worse than the what you are talking about. Who is going to monitor? We're talking about the monitoring of the problems that we are having, but who's going to monitor this situation if your daughters who see the problem just get out of the of the problems? I think, Chairperson, also I think on the Holy Cross Hospital, we know that there are so many problems there, and it's also in the OR Tambo district. But the department has just explained about the actions taken by the team and the recommendations by the team, and so about the CEO, the nursing service manager, and the particular measures to be taken along. So I think really I'm also glad that you are giving us these small books, which really shows us all what you are talking about. I can see it is here. Even the examples, the children, the babies, our eco, who are also here, who suffer the consequences of dying due to lack of oxygen. So I am really also the administrator of the hospital also is going to be disciplined due to what happened in that hospital. So thank you for the information you gave us. At the same case, I'm in the subcommittee of the province, yes, subcommittee of health in the province. I think also being that in that provincial structure, I need at least a few of these books, so that when we sit as a subcommittee of the ANC in our province, we can interrogate this also. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
I think having heard your report and even your responses, we are, as an oversight committee, we're going to make recommendations to the department. I think part of that, those recommendations, will send some of them to Eastern Cape, because we deal with the National Department of Health. But we know the actual work is done in the provinces, but we're going to be making recommendations. Honorable Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. And I want to thank all of you for your commitment and caring for bringing this information to us and making it public. Many of us have been aware of things going wrong through the activities of whistleblowers. I, for example, visited Madweleni Hospital last year as a result of information I was giving, and I was horrified. And I was horrified by the lack of caring of some of the staff. Now, this is a problem, the demoralization. We know what gives rise to that, but we've got to get back to the situation where nurses who are carers and nurturers actually want to help, who haven't been so demoralized by the system. So my plea is much the same as that of the former speaker. Let us see if we can hang on a little bit longer. And I just wondered if there were any plans to turn around the situation of demoralization. Obviously, it's a problem of leadership all around, and I think there is a concerted effort from all sides to try and change the situation. My concern when I was at Madweleni was that there hadn't been water for 2 weeks. There wasn't electricity. The telephone systems weren't working. And then you say, how can you fight infection? How can you keep cleanliness? And as my colleague beside me said, this was not the situation before. But we must look forward now. We can't just look back. So management, demoralization, those are the things that really concern me, and obviously that will come from the departments as well. But do you perhaps have any suggestions of how one can get back to the people and say, to the staff, that is, to the nursing staff and to the doctors, how can we work with them in such a way that they can feel there is a purpose, we can carry on? I will be back in the Eastern Cape during the holiday period, so I will be visiting and looking to see where we can help, because I think that's the common purpose. And I'm really concerned about the fact that was mentioned, that this has become a political issue. It's not meant to be political. Health is a human rights issue. It's a people's issue. And we mustn't be playing politics about this. And if the leaders are more concerned about their political situations, the sooner that is corrected, the better. I think I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to repeat what was said before. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We called you to give us your report. And we are trying to have hopes that things are going to change. And having met and with the recommendation that with the changes that are there, I think we're very hopeful that things are going to change as long as we keep on talking to each other. Honorable Dube. Okay, you come after.
Thanks, Chairperson. And thanks to community people who are concerned about their area. I think what they are doing is moving in the right direction for them to come together and take care of our facilities and check if our people are getting the service they deserve. But in the same vein, Chairperson, I want to concur myself with the speakers who said somewhere, somehow, we become confused because there was the information that we received prior, and there is this information that we are getting now around issues in the area, the Eastern Cape. Memories has said Eastern Cape was the priority of this committee since 2009. We don't even keep count how many times we went there, how many times we met people from the Eastern Cape. We must acknowledge and accept that there is a problem. But we must also say Rome was not built in one day. I like what the chairperson has said that of a committee, said that we are coming from an era whereby some of the things that we need now were not there by then. And we must also check the population. We are increasing in South Africa. We're having people who are coming from different countries who are using our own facilities. So what we had by then is now becoming fewer and lesser. But I also like when you say the minister is hands-on. he is trying his level best to help the Eastern Cape, whereby we must remember that the budget that we pass here is not just for Eastern Cape, it's for the whole country. And as the committee, we have been complaining about the monies that are being given to health, that they are not enough. The burden of diseases, the HIVs, the TBs, the, you name them, they are now draining out whatever is happening, whatever monies that we are trying to get from Treasury. And my appeal is that whilst you just started, let's take it a little bit slower and check what the members are saying as to, there are new people who are now in the Eastern Cape, the minister is there trying to help, let's just cooperate with them and maybe what you see and what you think, talk to them. It won't be every day because they are national and international, especially the minister and the DG. I don't know. We will be here. The chairperson is there in the Eastern Cape. Just give us a shout and let's not take each other to court. We know that when you are frustrated, you want help and you feel that there's no more help. The only place where you go is where nobody can find you. So don't get lost. Don't throw in the towel. But also let's have this pace. I'm not going to ask questions because there are so many things that you are raising here that somewhere, somehow, we also need to be informed. There was this statement that says when doctors are called by SAMA to go to meetings, they are not paid. I mean, that's the union prerogative for you to go to a meeting of your own choice of a union. So if we are all going to say we'll pay you for making your personal vacations or commitments, then it's not going to help. We are going to run short of people in the department who will help us. So some of this information that is in here, we will try and sum up by writing to you, chairperson, via you, to say this is that, that is here, because it will be a futile exercise for us to ask a lot of questions because it raises a lot of questions, it touches a lot of people, and we know that we have met the minister and we still have to meet the other people who give us the correct information. But I'm pleading with the team that the job that you are doing is what we need in every province. But give us a chance. I won't say give them, I'll say give us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Matube. Honorable Petty, the last one, and then we go for two.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Mine is to acknowledge the civil society for doing their responsibility, because sometimes we tend to neglect the role that the civil society is playing in the democracy. It is good because you keep us on our toes, we know what is happening. If I was the Department of Health in the Eastern Cape, I would really appreciate the role that you are doing, instead of taking you like an outsider or the threat to them. And Chair, mine also is the concern that maybe what is important that we need to reinforce is the communication among this civil society organization and the Department of the Eastern Cape. They need to sit down and have a dialogue about all their concern and what is happening. My other thing, Chairperson, I would like to have a copy, if possible, of the memorandum that you submitted to the department. Chair, mine also, when I was looking at the response from the department, it is really not fair how they responded, because you can check there's a lack of leadership, because it's not a sign of commitment, because the clear answers are not there, how they are going to really to do something. So I would suggest that somewhere, somehow, the recent civil society, they have to sit down with the department. The department must mesh the shadow. Yes. You explain thoroughly here how the department should supposed to have responded to your response. Maybe somewhere, somehow, there must be a commitment from both sides, because the crisis in the Western Cape, it needs everyone on board to be committed. Both the civil society, the community, the department must be there. So I think maybe that's what is important going forward. And I hope Dr. Mbengashe, he will have a support, because alone he's not going to do anything. So let's hope the people who are there, they will try to support him so that we can come about change. But at the end of the day, all of us, we need to agree that something needs to be done speedily. There's a serious problem in the Western Cape.
No, we won't comment about that. Okay, can we go for 10 minute tea break, and then we come back, then you respond to that question, and then we'll round it up.
Did you find it?
Thank you.